So now we're going to go into service manager knowledge management. In 2012, service manager knowledge management is a key component to really managing knowledge base articles, both for internal IT as well as for the customer. And we're going to show some unique ways we can actually help the customer, help them sell from a knowledge perspective, be able to feed that into the customer portal and make it very context aware to solve those problems. Yeah.
And I know so far you've shown the incident and the problem management and a lot of these the templates that are there. Is that right out of the box, or have you done lots of customizations to get to that point?
That's a great question. So from an incident, problem, as well as a knowledge management perspective, everything you're seeing here is out of the box. There may have been a field on the incident form that I actually added, which I didn't really highlight. But that's something really to recognize with service managers, that out of the box, the experience is actually very rich. I know in the previous segment you saw the connectors and the ability to consume that data and work with incident and problem management almost immediately is a really quick win for most customers. So yeah, it's a really rich out-of-the-box experience.
All right, great. Well, let's dig into the knowledge management.
Absolutely. So what we're going to do here is we're actually going to show you knowledge management from a demonstration perspective. So let's kick over to that. And the first thing we're going to do here is we're actually going to move out of the work items area, and we're actually going to go into knowledge management here. So if I actually go to my library area, you'll see here that I have the ability to start controlling knowledge articles in the business. And what I can do here is I can actually create knowledge articles manually, which I have the ability to do. I can also import knowledge articles in mass form from other external sources. So a lot of times customers have other service desk products and they have a knowledge environment and they want to bring that over. And I'm not going to show how you do this technically. There's a lot of good articles out there, but you have the ability to import data from other external sources of truth and be able to bring that data in through the connector information. So this is a quick example of how you can actually migrate that data.
So these are kind of problem resolution templates for certain things, for knowledge?
Absolutely.
Okay. And there's a lot of third-party sources out there that have these?
There are third-party sources. I'm an advocate kind of you know, Bing and Google being a good source of actually finding the most common issue. Mm-hmm. But knowledge management in general is, what are the common issues that are happening in my business and how do I actually solve those issues? And it gives us reusable ways to actually accomplish the resolution. So a blue screen of death with a hex decimal form on it. Do you want to put that in your knowledge management, your knowledge base? Maybe not. Maybe Bing or Google are really good ways to actually get that data. But maybe you have a specific application that you want to have a knowledge base article around because it's a common way to solve a certain problem. That might be a really good candidate for an article to be put into knowledge management. We actually work with a customer that has 17,000 knowledge base articles in their knowledge management system. And what they do is actually fairly unique. You can't actually create an incident until you actually have a knowledge article. So every incident has to have a knowledge base article. And when they actually work on an incident, they use knowledge to make sure that they have a resolution. They know all the resolutions. And it's a really nice proactive way to understand every single issue that's happening in the business. Now, 17,000 is a lot, but it's a good example of how to actually leverage knowledge management in an environment.
Yeah, that's taking it to the extreme of getting all end to end, I think. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we can actually create knowledge base articles manually. So that's what I'm going to kind of pick on today a little bit. And what we'll do here is we'll open up knowledge article 2 here, which is, why do software requests require approval? And the reason I'm picking on this is because we're actually going to see this in the customer portal. We're actually going to see how we can feed customers knowledge and be able to have that at their fingertips to be able to understand certain scenarios here. So as an overview for a knowledge-based article, I can do a couple of things here. I can rate this particular article, and whatever I rate it and provide a comment here, that actually goes into the feedback area so I can be proactive in understanding whether the knowledge-based article is relative or not relative and its measurement of success in the business. Mm-hmm. I have the ability to provide a nice friendly title, a nice friendly description. Now, these are really important because when you're searching in Service Manager for knowledge articles or when you're actually in the customer portal looking at information, these are all indexed inside of the solution. So whatever you're typing here is really, really important to know that it's really relative to the business. I have the ability to provide a classification, and some of those things around there might be keywords. These are tag words that go around the knowledge article as well. So if I want to search for them, I can pick up on these keywords here. I can assign this particular article owner to someone. So I'm logged in as Scott and I'm creating this article. I own this article, or maybe if you created a knowledge base article, you would be the actual article owner. I have the ability to provide a category for this. And this, again, is another way to classify and consume knowledge. And maybe some are software issues, some are hardware knowledge base articles, some are printing knowledge base articles, so on and so forth. But towards the bottom here is where we actually get to the meat of our knowledge management system. So I have the ability to do a couple of things here. I can provide an external link to something that may be not in my knowledge management system. So maybe there's a SharePoint environment, or maybe there is an external Google article or Bing article or MSDN article that I actually can link to. I can actually link that into the system. Or I can actually type the actual knowledge article in here. Now, the great thing about this is to create a knowledge base article, all you have to have is Microsoft Word. And when you create that knowledge base article, you then consume that and import that in via the knowledge base system. And when you open that up, it actually imports that Word document into the actual knowledge base system. And that's what I love about this, is that you don't have to know any crazy code or crazy source to be able to create a knowledge base article. You just have to know how to type something in Word, and then we actually consume it in Word. So it's very, very easy to actually create knowledge base articles in the system. Now, this is all customer-facing information, but there is an analyst area here, which actually allows for me to specify specific things for the analyst side of the business. So customers will never see this. So maybe in this knowledge base article... So
you mentioned a good point here. I'd like to just understand. Yeah. So you mentioned it's customer-facing. Where does that customer-facing knowledge surface?
That customer-facing knowledge surfaces in the customer portal. And we'll dig into that actually when we get through this particular part of the knowledge base session. But when we actually build customer knowledge, we actually want to publish that to the customer. I use my mother as the example here. My mother, she has a smartphone. She can go to an app store and download an app. She can hook up her phone to ActiveSync. She's consumer side genius. She's a real estate agent, so she can sell real estate really well. But the problem is when she walks in the four walls of IT, she gets really scared. She gets nervous. She doesn't know what's going on. She can go to Bank of America and reset her password, look at knowledge base articles all day long. But when, again, she looks at IT, she has an issue with being able to solve her own problem. I don't know why that is, but I think that's because of the impression of how we present data back to our customers. So in the customer portal for Service Manager, there's a really neat way to be able to make knowledge base articles contextually aware to be able to provide your customer knowledge base articles that are relevant to what they're looking for. So there's a couple ways we do this here. Now, this is a customer portal for Service Manager. And you'll see here that I've kind of visualized this as a service that we're providing to our business. I have things around hardware requests, software requests, telecom requests, things such as that. Now, I can't come in here and just search for knowledge base articles. But the reality is that a customer is not going to come in here and type the word software to find software-related knowledge base articles, or type iPhone to find iPhone-related knowledge base articles, because they just won't. That's not how they actually operate. Mm-hmm. However, what they will do is say, okay, well, I have a software issue, or I need a piece of software, or I have a telecom issue. And what we can do here is make this customer portal very visual, put knowledge-based articles around those particular types of requests. So let's say that a customer is coming in here for a software request issue. You can see here that I'm actually putting the knowledge that we just showed you on the analyst side into the actual request offering here. So my mom or my customer wants to know why I need particular pieces of software approved. I can actually click on this, and this will open up that knowledge-based article and give me the ability to see that knowledge-based article and why maybe software is required for, why manager approval is required for particular pieces of software. That's one great example. Maybe the customer is going in to report a telecom issue. Maybe they just got their new smartphone and they want to be able to see how to set up ActiveSync. So maybe we put a knowledge-based article in the smartphone area that says, hey, you have a new device. This is how you set up ActiveSync, and walk them through step by step. The great thing about this is it alleviates the touch points into the service desk. Now you're helping your customers help yourself. It's contextually aware, so you're putting the right knowledge-based articles into the right areas, and your first call of your influx of requests that are coming in from the business goes way, way down because they're being solved by themselves with knowledge.
So makes sense.
Knowledge has a couple of different really strong points. It's really easy to create, really easy to manage, analysts can use it to be able to work against common issues and resolutions. But more importantly, and this is, I think, is the most key part, is being able to put this in front of customers and help them help themselves.
Very much so. Yeah. So, obviously, resolve the problems or incidents before they happen. That's the ideal state.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. So that's a nice overview of knowledge management. And
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. We'll see you back here in a little while for reporting data warehousing.
We will, actually.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
pulls the button, but just, hey, yeah, it's all right. That's how it goes.
Show you a little trick on when you get them all out. What you can do is the synthetic video adapter may not be able to understand what the heck a widescreen is. If you go into advanced mode within the VM itself, you can override it to say, no, I can handle the proper resolution. So when one of these guys comes up, I'll show you that to make sure.
It's actually all I care about is this guy here, so let me...
Yeah. Otherwise, you end up with scrolly bars and all that. It just looks crap, and you get frustrated because you can't see it. So let's get you a good experience here.
No, for sure. All right. That looks good.
That's the VM?
Yeah.
Is that... UD? Yeah. Okay. Then,
cool.
You're good to go.
That works.
Back.
Okay. Just give me a second real quick. My VMs are still spinning on.
So yeah, are you ready?
Just 2 minutes to make sure everything lit up.
Okay.
Give me a second.
So, so we're at how many minutes now? 75 minus 47. Okay, that's fine. Let's just start. Let's. How far off are we right now?
About 20.
Okay.
I need it. Is that okay or not?
Okay. Yeah, I guess I don't know what to do. I'm not sure what we do. Let's just keep going. We gotta keep going. Yeah, okay. All right.
I'm almost there.
So go ahead and start the counter.
Oh, no. I need like another 2 minutes. I'm sorry.
We're not going to record yet, but if you want to.
Whenever you change resolution on the service manager console, it freaks out. You got to make sure it's.
If you want to get the timer. Yeah. In a second. The timer, I wanted to, because we're running late, I want to get the timer going. And then we'll record when this is ready here. Yeah, that's great. It's going. So that's good.
Okay, what do you want me to do? You want me to jump into a demo?
So since you're ready for the demo, let's go with the Incident Manager demo.
Okay.
And then we'll just keep it going.
Do this one? That'd be better, right?
No, yeah. My hands are up here. I don't know what's going on. I have them up here permanently for the Stephen Rose. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, almost there. Almost there. Okay. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Ready to go.
So we're going to go through some of the things we talked about around the incident management process. Walk you through kind of the building blocks of incident management. Walk through a little bit of the admin settings so you guys get a look and feel for that. And then we'll walk through how we actually create an incident and some of the things we articulated in the PowerPoint here. So first things to start off with is, you'll see here we talked about all those different ITIL processes. You see they're front and center here. And from an incident management perspective, what we get here out of the box is really a nice way to be able to visualize all of the incidents that are actually happening and being received from the business. And we talked about views a little bit, so you'll see here that we can see different perspectives and filters on different views for my incident management. I can see things such as all open incidents. I can see incidents that are assigned to me. I have the ability to see the incidents that are assigned to specific support groups. And again, like I said, as we're transitioning these incidents between teams and support groups and different elements of the business, we have the ability to build these views to actually wrap around how we actually want to receive and perceive that data. Now, you'll see also here when I right-click, I have the ability to create an incident. I also have that ability here on the right-hand side here towards the bottom. And the reason that's important here is that's a nice really entry point into actually when you're answering the phone and working with a customer, actually creating an incident. When I create an incident, I'm going to start capturing data that we talked about in our PowerPoint deck here. So I'm going to start capturing data such as the customer's name. And in my particular example, I'll use Allison. And again, to show you the power of Service Manager and bringing in that ecosystem, Allison's information is coming from Active Directory. So we're going to capture all the metadata around that user object. So her first name, her last name, her title, her company. We're going to see every single work item that's ever been associated with Allison. So if she's calling for, calling in for common things. I have that at my fingertips. Or
so if you get a real problem user, then she's going to pop up and say, wow, 56 incidents, uh-oh.
Allison is a problem maker, yeah. So you would actually be able to trend against her. And that's actually a good example of reporting, right? So maybe Allison just needs to go to a Word class or an Excel class to be able to stop having her call about common issues. So that's a really good example of articulating a problem user. I can also see her manager information, so I get the ability to understand that, and we can actually use that in workflows to approve and reject items. Now, let's say Allison's calling in about a phone issue, so we'll say her cell phone's not working. We can start putting a title around that. We can provide a description. We can put a classification category around that. So we'll call this a hardware problem. And you'll see here also that I have the ability now to provide a priority, and the way I do that is I provide an impact and an urgency. So the impact to the business is fairly low on this one, but for her, because she's maybe someone that travels, it may be a little bit higher of a priority, so we'll classify it as medium. And you'll see here that my priority goes to 3, because we're doing that dynamic math on the fly from our incident settings. You'll see here also that I have the ability to assign a support group, so I'll kick that out to the service desk team. I'll assign this to Scott on the service desk team, which is the person I'm actually logged in as. And because I've actually put Allison's name as an affected user, I also have the ability to associate a configuration item coming from Config and Ops Manager against Allison. So let's say Allison is calling about her smartphone or she's calling in about her workstation. You can see here that I can add those particular CIs to this incident, and then I can actually understand that and trend for that against in a reporting perspective in a future date. I can also open this up and see all the data coming from Config Manager. So I can see principal name and serial number and asset tag and all that information that's coming from Config Manager in this particular connector. Continuing to move on here, you'll see here that I do have the ability to add activities. So if I wanted to add a manual activity or a runbook activity, I can do that. I'm not going to do that in this particular example, just to show you how we can do that. I can also start relating items to this particular incident. So if I wanted to relate other work items like we talked about, I have the ability to do that. So I'll just grab a couple of activities here. If I wanted to relate other configuration items, so let's say that I wanted to relate another workstation that she's using, I have the ability to do that as well. And again, the beauty of this is when I actually open up these CIs that are coming from Config and Ops Manager, I get all that inventory data against those particular CIs. So the other CI, I wasn't able to show that too cleanly because it was one that I created manually, but you'll see here Config Manager is providing full DNS name, NetBIOS names, SMBIOS tags, serial number, OS information, memory information, OS hardware information. I'll see all the hardware on that particular device, NICs, processors, disk I.O. I'll see all the software on that particular device, what's installed in that new programs, all the software updates that have been installed, that need to be installed. And this all happens out of the box. You have the ability to use this information at your fingertips to be able to be proactive in actually solving this incident.
And I could see how that would be really handy, too, if you have, a help desk set of folks or maybe an initial entry tier of problem level management people that aren't, maybe you don't want to give them access to a configuration manager, which has all that data, but they at least have a surface level of info to try and direct something to a resolution.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's a good way to actually feed that information to those individuals. So if I continue down this process, I can also see that on the resolution tab, I have my clock ticking here. And when I actually press OK on here, I'll actually add 4 or 5 minutes of time that I've actually spent on this particular incident. I can also come in here and do this manually. So let's say that I've worked on Allison's issue for 30 minutes. I can add that here. And I can actually start aggregating that information and measuring the time I spent against this particular incident.
So that timer, is that automatically timing you being in the console, or when does that start? As soon as you open the window?
I open up the window, the timer starts, and it aggregates or counts that clock, and then when I press OK here, and we'll see this when we jump back into it, when we reassign it, we'll actually see that the time has actually been added to that particular incident. You also see on the right-hand side, we have a bunch of tasks here. I can do things such as reassign this to another analyst or assign it to myself. I can change the incident status to a different status here. I can create a related problem, which we'll see in the next segue. I can create a related release record, a service request, a change record. I have the ability to transfer this to another support group. So if I want to transfer this to the desktop team, I can do that. And these tasks are really, really handy in being able to do one-off activities against incidents and be able to move them around Service Manager on a day-in and day-out basis. Now, because I have a related computer here, I can actually ping the related computer. I can actually initiate a remote desktop session through Config Manager. So maybe I want to actually remote into Allison's machine and be able to see what she's actually looking at for her particular issue. I have the ability to do that.
And is that set up after you set up the Configuration Manager connector? And is there specific things you need to configure after that to get that to work?
Great question. So the default task here is a remote desktop session. So it's an mstsc.exe session back to the computer. But there is a ton of articles out there that actually articulate and show you how to actually build the actual remote control process from Config Manager against that CI. So you can expand this task list to be able to take advantage of that. And then Allison, like you said, doesn't have to have access to the Config Manager console, but she can actually do remote control against that machine for those particular scenarios.
Yeah, just as long as they have remote desktop permissions to remote in and they're good.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's great.
Absolutely. After we actually kick this off, we'll see a service level assigned to this particular incident. So we'll actually have to press OK here to actually kick that off, but that will actually start. So let's go ahead and reassign this to the desktop team here. And like I said, we have views that give us the ability to see different perspectives of data. So I'll move over to the desktop team here, and I'll see that incident. And let's say that for whatever reason, her cell phone's not working because of something that's happening in ActiveSync and Exchange. So maybe I want to escalate that out to the server team, so I'll go ahead and do that here. Please help me.
I need help.
I need help.
Escalate.
When I do that, that will filter out of the desktop team. I'll go over to the server team here. I actually will see that incident. Now, if I double click that, the service level may have kicked in by now. It may not. It takes about 60 seconds to a minute. Not yet. But what you'll see here is that the activity log has been updated to be able to show all the things that have happened to this particular incident, so all the reassignments, mm-hmm. so that action log is retaining yep. that data. You also see here that from an audit perspective, anytime I've done anything against this incident, whether it's creating it, whether it's associating a service level that just kicked in, or whether that's actually reassigning it, I have the ability to actually visualize that. Let's see if I can see my service level. Let's back out here and open this up one more time. Oh, no service level yet. It will come. Just takes a couple seconds to kick in.
Yeah,
here.
No worries.
So the idea here is that we're able to, again, from an incident perspective, receive an incident, be able to reassign it between the different support groups, mm-hmm. react to that information, use Active Directory, Config Manager, Ops Manager data to understand the person's environment, and be able to solve that issue as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and then have that service layer come in, service level come in, and say, hey, how are you complying against that or not, and you could take even actions based upon that.
Absolutely. Right. So let's bring one that actually has a service level that's kicked in.
Yeah.
And that's a bad example. I keep doing this. Let me get rid of this guy. We'll use ERP issue here. So we'll see here that this particular incident has had a service level assigned to it. It's in a breach state. And you'll see here that based upon, in this particular example, the fact that Allison or the user's information is coming from Shanghai, China, we actually can wrap the service level around the actual time zone, and we can actually give an end date for that incident to be able to say, you need to solve this by a certain end date. If you don't, we're going to go into a breach state. And then we can notify the business as well.
Makes sense.
So outside of all of that, once I've actually resolved this particular incident, I can go ahead and, or once I feel like I've resolved this incident, I can resolve this incident here. By clicking on resolve, I can provide a resolution category. So in this scenario, I fixed it by a higher tier support. And let's say in exchange, I fixed the user's account.
And you could make those fields required, I'm assuming, too, that you need to specify something in
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Coming back to kind of that open source conversation,
open source
you can make anything required, not required, read-only.
Yep.
It's the actual
Great.
Incident. Now, talking about notifications, when we open up that incident up, Allison could get an email saying, hey, you have an open email, our open incident. When I close that, we can say, hey, Allison, we resolved your incident. And communication between you and I can happen from an email perspective as well.
Okay.
Last but not least, let's dig into administration a little bit. Oops. So we talked about this in the slide deck, but when we go to administration and we go to settings, you'll see here I have all my settings for all my different parts of my service manager implementation. And we'll dig into the incident settings here. So couple things we highlighted in incident management is we have the ability to put a prefix. This is the default prefix, which is IRs. You can change a prefix, and this happens because of a business requirement. We can specify the maximum number of attached files. Sometimes that's good to understand because this is all stored as blob data in SQL. So you may want to make sure that you don't have a lot of big files being attached or multiple files being attached. It's a good way to scale that conversation. You can assign that default support group to any support group you have in your business. You can control the parent-child relationship. So in my scenario, I'm not controlling that, but if I wanted to automatically resolve child incidents when a parent incident is resolved, I can control that behavior. I can actually let the analyst as well control that behavior, so I can prompt them and make them aware of what they want to do for the parent-child relationship. I can define priority calculation. So again, low plus low, medium plus medium, high plus high dictates certain scenarios. So in my example here, high plus high is a 1 priority, whereas a low plus low is a 4 priority, and that will dictate the actual service level process. Again, this is a little bit legacy, so we don't recommend using it because it takes away from the service level objective conversation, Service Manager 2012, but you can control resolution time based upon priority a little more manually and in a more tactical way. We have the ability to link into Operations Manager. So in my particular demo environment, I have SCOM 2012 as the Operations Manager server, and when I actually have an event come in, I can actually link into the Operations Manager console and see alert views for servers that are having events against them or network devices, or I can bring up Health Explorer in the web console and be able to see that
That's kind of one of those tasks on the right-hand side. You have the remote desktop, those other things, so you get the OpsMan view of whatever OpsMan has for those particular servers.
Absolutely,
right?
Okay. Absolutely. It's one of those tasks on the right-hand side.
Okay.
And then this is an example of how you can actually set up incoming email from the old way. So if you did want to actually use SMTP drop locations and forward email from Exchange Server, you have the ability to do it. It's actually fairly easy to set up. And we strongly recommend that you use the Exchange Connector, even though it's not RTM yet. It works, I promise. Yep. I've seen it in lots of implementation, and it's really important to recognize.
So if you're using the Exchange Connector, which I'm guessing most people probably do, because we keep hitting that point, would they need to check the box to say turn on incoming email processing here, or is that just done via the connector?
They would deselect the box.
Okay, there we go. All right.
And that's kind of a nice overview of incident management and administration. So we walk through all the incident management fields. We walk through the tasks a little bit, how you actually manage that, moving between the different support groups, talk about the administration settings a little bit. That's a nice, really good overview of incident management.
Okay. So, cool. All right. Well, let's move on to the next one.
Okay.
All right, so if editor, you just want to edit out my last comment there, but and end on him, and then let's I know we don't have a lot of time, so what I'd recommend is that you do the header slide and maybe one or two slides. I'm looking at these; a lot of them are screenshots.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if you just, I was actually
going to ask you this. You gave me this deck, so I thought there was a lot of deck.
I thought I was told everybody. Please cut out slides possible, and then more demo. So if you want to just,
I would like to demo the whole thing.
Okay, then just do the slide and do the rest demo for the other two sections.
Done.
That's cool by me.
Done. Yeah. I saw that, but you gave me the deck and it was really polished. I'm like,
I just gave it as a framework, just to pull from, but not a.
No problem.
Yeah, you need to present on it. So
okay.
I got apologies if I wasn't clear on that.
No worries. Let me. Let me jump here real quick.
And then just go to the demo slide.
So we'll just lay it up, and then we'll go straight into demo.
Yeah, just go to that, and then go to demo.
Yep. Okay, perfect.
All right, I'll start us off and then let you go back here. All right, we're back again, and continuing on with problem management.
So we've talked about this in the preface of incident management, but problem management is the next segue in terms of controlling the environment and understanding trends that are happening from incident management. And the great thing about problem management is with problem management, you have the ability to be reactive to a trend. So a flood of stuff happens and Exchange goes down and people can't access email. That's a good example of a flooded reactive trend. Or you have the ability to be proactive and understand, okay, well, I have a bunch of incidents that have happened over a certain amount of time. Maybe there's a commonality here, there's some root cause here that I need to look at from an operations perspective and be able to actually solve that and take that out of the actual operations issues that plague my business. Yep. So we're going to go through both scenarios here, and what we're going to do here is we're going to jump straight into the actual product and walk you through how incident management segues into problem management and talk about all the features in between that. So when we come back to the work items area, you'll see here that right next to incident management lives problem management. And although problem management is its own domain, it does have its own views. You can actually see different problems and my active problems versus closed problems, things like that. The important thing to remember here is that it generally starts with an actual incident. And you actually trend off those incidents typically. So we're actually going to start there. And what I'm going to do here is I'm actually going to start showing you the real power of the views and how you actually can use this trending data. So what I'll do here is I'll go into all incidents. And we'll just take a look at all of the incidents in the system. And when I pull this up, I'll see that in my particular system, again, it's just a demo environment, but I have 225 overall incidents. And let's say that I want to start identifying trends, maybe against classification category, maybe against configuration items, whatever I want. This view structure is very easy to manipulate the data and be able to actually identify those trends. So if I right-click here, you'll see that I can actually group by different elements in this view, and I can actually click on classification category. And when I do that, you'll see every single incident that's been categorized by a certain classification category. And if I move over to the right here, you'll see what those group bys are. So I have a lot of configuration data problem issues. I'll eventually see a lot of email problems, enterprise application problems, so on and so forth. So let's say that I'm having a bunch of email problems, and I want to actually identify this as a problem in my business. So what I'm able to do here is I'm actually able to select all of those and create a problem via the task menu that actually sucks up those incidents into a parent problem against my business. And what you'll see here, when this problem is created, on the Related Items tab, I will have every single one of those incidents that's ever been created for that particular category automatically associated. So this is an example of being proactive against the business. I'm identifying trends and I'm being proactive from a problem management perspective. Let's say in the reverse, I've had a flood of issues that have come in and I need to be able to create a problem based upon that. So this is a reactionary example, right? So what I'll do here is in my all incidents view, I'll just type the word active to bring all the active incidents forward. So I'll type active here and I'll see that here. And then I'll do the same process as I did before. I'll right click, I'll group by classification category, and I'll see all those incidents that have a certain classification category.
That are active.
So I have a flood of stuff coming in, and now I'm actually want to be reactive and understand what that problem is here. So in the same vein, I can see I have a lot of enterprise application problems. I still have 7 email problems, which is kind of high for my business. So I'm actually going to highlight those 7 here, and I'm actually going to create a problem against those particular 7.
So if you wanted to, let's say, you did a quick search there and typed active, let's say you wanted all iPhone issues that were
iPhone.
Active. Oh, I mean, come on now. You mentioned the iPhone. So, no.
Hey,
no, hey, people-centric IT, right?
That
we're all about everything, right?
I'm using Windows 7 still, so.
Yeah. It's all right. But so is there a way to do that as far as the views?
Absolutely. So what you saw here is from a view perspective, I typed the word active. Once I actually start filtering data, I can add criteria here. So if I wanted to add criteria to say the classification category may contain the word email, I can do that and I get a very specific view that shows me that data. And this is what I love about Service Manager and the view structure. This happens in Config Manager, Ops Manager, Service Manager. This view structure is very palatable to reporting against, mining data, understanding what's going on in the business, and then doing stuff with that data. In this scenario, creating a problem. So I saw that problem open? I think I do. Those are my related.
Okay,
so we'll continue to go here.
Yep.
So problem management, although visually makes a little bit of sense around incident management, it looks a little bit similar to incident management, there are some very key differences here. So for my problem here, I'm going to categorize it as an Exchange issue. So Exchange is getting flooded because iPhone 6.1 update is causing issues.
The maps are not working.
There you go. People will actually know what I'm talking about here as well. I can assign this to an individual analyst, so I'll assign this to Scott here. I can categorize this. Now, this is a different category than incident management because problem management has its own set of classification that we need to be aware of here. So I'll categorize this as an application. I'll give it an impact and urgency. We saw this before from a problem management perspective, or sorry, an incident management perspective. So my impact to the business is high. My urgency in this particular scenario is high as well because Exchange is getting flooded and we need to fix this as immediately as possible.
Right.
However, we need to actually fix that. We also have the ability to bring in affected services and affected items from the business. So we haven't chatted about this yet, but operations manager is feeding in all my distributed applications, showing me all my services that are provided to the business. And I have the ability to say, okay, well, operations manager is giving me that Exchange service, and Exchange is currently the issue at hand here, so I'll actually associate Exchange as a distributed application to this problem. And again, 6 months from now, we'll understand how many problems are actually being affected by Exchange. So a really good example of how we can trend and report. You also notice here that I had two configuration items that came from the incident. So those actually got sucked into the problem as well. And you can see here that I'm able to use that data to be able to trend as well from a problem perspective. From a related item side, we've shown you the ability to correlate incidents. So we automatically brought that data into the actual problem here. If I wanted to relate incidents after the fact, I have the ability to do that as well. You'll see here, if I highlight on a particular incident, I can actually link this to an existing problem and actually automatically start aggregating that data as more incidents come into the actual business. Mm-hmm. I can add other configuration items, services, and people as it pertains to this particular problem. I can add other knowledge articles. If there is a knowledge article that fixes this particular issue, which we'll talk about in the next segment, I have the ability to do that. I can attach files that maybe correlate to the actual problem itself. From a resolution perspective, I'm actually going to start capturing data that really affects the problem. So I have the ability to provide an error description. Exchange is getting flooded due to, service manager does not have a spell checker.
No.
Yeah. getting flooded due to iPhone update. Current workaround is wipe everyone's iPhone.
No problem.
Yeah. We all have access.
They'll be happy.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I can actually say this is a known error because this is something that actually Apple had an issue with and they had to provide an update, so it is a known error. We don't need to provide a review for this because we know it's a known error, but maybe this is a major problem that happens consistently in the business. We need to tick this off as a major problem and say, okay, well, when we actually review all of our problems, we want to identify those ones that are major and say, operationally, why is this happening in our business?
Yeah, kind of we have a weekly meeting or a daily scrub of what's going on. We're going to flag that one as a one to go
through. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then at the end of the day, after you've actually categorized a problem, provided all the information around a problem, you have the ability to resolve a problem. So I can come here from a task perspective, and we saw this in incident management, all those tasks in my task area, and I can resolve this particular problem. Oops. I have to actually create it first. Let me create it, and then we can actually resolve it here. We'll go to my problem area. And we'll see that I have my Exchange issue here. And what we'll do is we'll come in here and we'll resolve this issue. We'll see that the problem has actually been resolved. And when we do that, what happens here at the bottom is we actually get the ability to provide resolution details. And this is actually a big feature within Service Manager. You'll see here that I can check this box. I don't have to, but I can check this box that says, if there are incidents assigned to this particular problem, which in this scenario there are, there's about 7 or 8, do I want to auto-resolve those incidents? And why that's important is because you can actually auto-resolve those incidents and then send a nice little personal email to each one of those customers and say, hey, we worked really hard on your incident. It's been resolved. Let us know if there's any other issues that can be at hand. We don't have to go to each incident and resolve it. It's a mass way to actually resolve
right.
all those incidents.
So it's a really good one good scenario where you should move an incident into a problem as opposed to just close the incident out one at a time.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. I can provide a resolution category just like I could in incident management. So I have the ability to categorize this and understand what the root impact of this particular problem was. We'll say this is an application problem. And then the resolution description here actually gets passed to the incident as well. So if you're communicating to the customers, hey, this is how we resolve this particular issue, you want to be really careful what you put in here. You don't want to say, customers are dumb, da 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 da. You want to be very friendly. We can say, we identified the root cause as an Apple update. Please update to new version of iOS, and it will be fixed. So on and so forth, right?
Yep.
We can pass this to the incident automatically and then send that to the customer, a nice friendly note to be able to have that just friendly communication. Another way, strong way to use notifications and email within Service Manager. Now that's how we actually, background process.
So you can cut that out. Editor, we'll just cut out that edit there.
So that's
are you almost done with this section?
I am.
Okay. All right, so I would just snap now to
wrap the demo up, and then
we'll move to the next
one. So that's a really nice overview of problem management, and what we're going to do now is go into knowledge management as the next segment.
All right, let's do it.
Service Manager.
Yeah.
Okay. How are we doing on time?
Fine.
We're ahead, but I know you're
if we can at least stick to that. I know we're probably 20 minutes behind. I think this is 5 minutes ago is when we were supposed to end, but that's okay. That's not. Why don't we just...
Don't be so stressed. It's all good.
It's all good. I know, man. We got lunch. It was a little bit of a buffer here. So I would just say take your 20 minutes, and you can cover it in the rest?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's do it, man.
Actually, before we jump into this, because we're going straight into demo.
One thing, this is a pretty basic question, but I don't know if you want to address it in this, but the initial setup of the problem in knowledge management, it's included, but it seems like you're diving into all of the how things work, but just kind of the initial getting it going, getting the problem ticketing management going. Is there, because you said you can customize the fields and the forms, is there kind of a base template
that's out of the box?
That was out of the box.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So maybe something, I don't know if we want to address that or I can ask the question, but is that, as you've been going through these, is that a base template? And
it's all base, yeah. It's
okay.
All out of the box. So
okay,
why
cool.
don't you segue into that
okay.
and say, walk through incident management, problem management.
Okay. Yeah, I'll ask the question and then that way
perfect.
You can just clarify with folks.
Perfect, perfect.
Okay. All right, so we'll go to the intro thing. I'll let you you can start off this one, and then I'll ask the question after you start the opening slide.
Awesome.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. So now we're going to go into Service Manager Knowledge Management. In 2012, Service Manager Knowledge Management is a key component to really managing knowledge base articles, both for internal IT as well as for the customer. And we're going to show some unique ways we can actually help the customer, help them sell from a knowledge perspective, be able to feed that into the customer portal and make it very context aware to solve those problems.
Yeah. And I know so far you've shown the incident and the problem management and a lot of the templates that are there. Is that right out of the box, or have you done lots of customizations to get to that point?
That's a great question. So from an incident, problem, as well as a knowledge management perspective, everything you're seeing here is out of the box. There may have been a field on the incident form that I actually added, which I didn't really highlight, but that's something really to recognize with Service Manager is that out of the box, the experience is actually very rich. I know in the previous segment you saw the connectors and the ability to consume that data and work with incident and problem management almost immediately is a really quick win for most customers. So it's a really rich out of the box experience.
All right, great. Well, let's dig into the knowledge management.
Absolutely. So what we're going to do here is we're actually going to show you knowledge management from a demonstration perspective. So let's kick over to that. And the first thing we're going to do here is we're actually going to move out of the work items area, and we're actually going to go into knowledge management here. So if I actually go to my library area, you'll see here that I have the ability to start controlling knowledge articles in the business. And what I can do here is I can actually create knowledge articles manually, which I have the ability to do. I can also import knowledge articles in mass form from other external sources. So a lot of times customers have other service desk products and they have a knowledge environment and they want to bring that over. And I'm not going to show how you do this technically. There's a lot of good articles out there, but you have the ability to import data from other external sources of truth and be able to bring that data in through the connector information. So this is a quick example of how you can actually migrate that data.
So these are kind of problem resolution templates for certain things, for knowledge?
Absolutely.
Okay. And there's a lot of third-party sources out there that have these?
There are third-party sources. I'm an advocate kind of you know, Bing and Google being a good source of actually finding the most common issue.
Mm-hmm.
But knowledge management in general is, what are the common issues that are happening in my business, and how do I actually solve those issues? And it gives us reusable ways to actually accomplish the resolution. So a blue screen of death with a hex decimal format, do you want to put that in your knowledge management, your knowledge base? Maybe not. Maybe Bing or Google are really good ways to actually get that data. But maybe you have a specific application that you want to have a knowledge base article around because it's a common way to solve a certain problem. That might be a really good candidate for an article to be put into knowledge management. We actually work with a customer that has 17,000 knowledge base articles in their knowledge management system. And what they do is actually fairly unique. You can't actually create an incident until you actually have a knowledge article. So every incident has to have a knowledge base article. And when they actually work on an incident, they use knowledge to make sure that they have a resolution. They know all the resolutions. And it's a really nice proactive way to understand every single issue that's happening in the business. Now, 17,000 is a lot, but it's a good example of how to actually leverage knowledge management in an environment.
Yeah, that's taking it to the extreme of getting all end-to-end, I think, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So we can actually create knowledge base articles manually. So that's what I'm going to kind of pick on today a little bit. And what we'll do here is we'll open up knowledge article 2 here, which is, why do software requests require approval? And the reason I'm picking on this is because we're actually going to see this in the customer portal. We're actually going to see how we can feed customers knowledge and be able to have that at their fingertips to be able to understand certain scenarios here. So as an overview for a knowledge-based article, I can do a couple of things here. I can rate this particular article, and whatever I rate it and provide a comment here, that actually goes into the feedback area so I can be proactive in understanding whether the knowledge-based article is relative or not relative and its measurement of success in the business. Mm-hmm. I have the ability to provide a nice friendly title, a nice friendly description. Now these are really important because when you're searching in Service Manager for knowledge articles or when you're actually in the customer portal looking at information, these are all indexed inside of the solution. So whatever you're typing here is really, really important to know that it's really relative to the business. I have the ability to provide a classification, and some of those things around there might be keywords. These are tag words that go around the knowledge article as well, so if I want to search for them, I can pick up on these keywords here. I can assign this particular article owner to someone. So I'm logged in as Scott and I'm creating this article. I own this article, or maybe if you created a knowledge base article, you would be the actual article owner. I have the ability to provide a category for this. And this again is another way to classify and consume knowledge, and maybe some are software issues, some are hardware knowledge base articles, some are printing knowledge base articles, so on and so forth. But towards the bottom here is where we actually get to the meat of our knowledge management system. So I have the ability to do a couple of things here. I can provide an external link to something that may be not in my knowledge management system. So maybe there's a SharePoint environment, or maybe there is an external Google article or Bing article or MSDN article that I actually can link to. I can actually link that into the system. Or I can actually type the actual knowledge article in here. Now, the great thing about this is to create a knowledge base article, all you have to have is Microsoft Word. And when you create that knowledge base article, you then consume that and import that in via the knowledge base system. And when you open that up, it actually imports that Word document into the actual knowledge base system. And that's what I love about this, is that you don't have to know any crazy code or crazy source to be able to create a knowledge base article. You just have to know how to type something in Word, and then we actually consume it in Word. So it's very, very easy to actually create knowledge base articles in the system. Now this is all customer facing information, but there is an analyst area here which actually allows for me to specify specific things for the analyst side of the business. So customers will never see this. So maybe in this knowledge base article,
So you mentioned a good point here. I'd like to just understand. Yeah. So you mentioned it's customer facing. Where does that customer facing knowledge surface?
That customer-facing knowledge surfaces in the customer portal. And we'll dig into that actually when we get through this particular part of the knowledge base session. But when we actually build customer knowledge, we actually want to publish that to the customer. We want it at their fingertips. So we'll relate this to different service request offerings and put it into the actual customer portal for them to search and be able to see that data.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Solving customers' problems by putting knowledge in front of them. And I use my mother as the example here. My mother, she has a smartphone, she can go to an app store and download an app. She can hook up her phone to ActiveSync. She's consumer side genius. She's a real estate agent, so she can sell real estate really well. But the problem is when she walks in the four walls of IT, she gets really scared. She gets nervous. She doesn't know what's going on. She can go to Bank of America and reset her password, look at knowledge base articles all day long. But when, again, she looks at IT, she has an issue with being able to solve her own problem. I don't know why that is, but I think that's because of the impression of how we present data back to our customers. So in the customer portal for Service Manager, there's a really neat way to be able to make knowledge base articles contextually aware to be able to provide your customer knowledge base articles that are relevant to what they're looking for. So there's a couple ways we do this here. Now, this is a customer portal for Service Manager, and you'll see here that I've kind of visualized this as a service that we're providing to our business. I have things around hardware requests, software requests, telecom requests, things such as that. Now, I can't come in here and just search for knowledge base articles, but the reality is that a customer is not going to come in here and type the word software to find software-related knowledge base articles, or type iPhone to find iPhone-related knowledge base articles, because they just won't. They don't. That's not how they actually operate. Mm-hmm. However, what they will do is say, okay, well, I have a software issue, or I need a piece of software, or I have a telecom issue. And what we can do here is make this customer portal very visual, put knowledge-based articles around those particular types of requests. So let's say that a customer is coming in here for a software request issue. You can see here that I'm actually putting the knowledge that we just showed you on the analyst side into the actual request offering here. So my mom or my customer wants to know why I need particular pieces of software approved. I can actually click on this, and this will open up that knowledge base article and give me the ability to see that knowledge base article and why maybe software is required for, why manager approval is required for particular pieces of software. That's one great example. Maybe the customer is going in to report a telecom issue. Maybe they just got their new smartphone and they want to be able to see how to set up ActiveSync. So maybe we put a knowledge base article in the smartphone area that says, hey, you have a new device. This is how you set up ActiveSync, and walk them through step by step. The great thing about this is it alleviates the touch points into the service desk. Now you're helping your customers help yourself. It's contextually aware, so you're putting the right knowledge base articles into the right areas, and your first call of your influx of requests that are coming in from the business goes way, way down because they're being solved by themselves with knowledge.
So makes sense.
Knowledge has a couple of different really strong points. It's really easy to create, really easy to manage. Analysts can use it to be able to work against common issues and resolutions. But more importantly, and this is, I think, is the most key part, is being able to put this in front of customers and help them help themselves.
Very much so. Yeah, so obviously resolve the problems or incidents before they happen. That's the ideal state.
Exactly, exactly. Right. So that's a nice overview of knowledge management. And
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. We'll see you back here in a little while for reporting data warehousing.
We will, actually.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. 4 minutes and 40 seconds to spare.
Okay. Thanks.